Father, I humble myself before you. I confess that without you I can do nothing. But with your Holy Spirit working in me, all things are possible. Thank you, God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. I've asked this before, but I want to ask a question. How many in the sanctuary here believe that they are called by God? Very good. For the purpose of those listening on tape, virtually everyone raised their hand. Now, how many of you know what your calling is? Okay, for the purpose of those listening on tape, it's way fewer than the number of people who believe they're called. And in my pastor's Bible study, where I meet with other pastors on Tuesday morning, we have some people who have a teaching anointing, some people who are prophetic, some people who are apostolic, some people, but all of us have the hearts of pastors for the people in the church. And when other people have asked these same questions at other congregations and other gatherings, we researched it and found out that 80% of all the believers in churches in America do not know what their calling is. Even though they believe that they're called, they don't know what their calling is. And we believe that that represents one of the primary crises facing the American church today, is that we have believers who say that they're called by God, but they don't know what their calling is. So the name of this message is Crisis in the Church. And I want to go back to the very beginning, and let's look at Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 4. This is the Lord speaking to Moses when he was up on the mountain in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So one thing that I believe we're called to be as believers in Yeshua the Messiah is a kingdom of priests and a holy nation set apart for God. And look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. The Lord says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. So we're called to be a holy nation. We're called to be priests. We're called to be a holy people separated for God. And we're a treasure in his sight when we function that way. And if we look at Romans 1, verse 7, it says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So in the New Covenant Scripture, we're called to be saints. And it also is repeated in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Yeshua the Messiah, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Yeshua the Messiah our Lord. So when things are repeated in the Bible, it means they're important. The Holy Spirit says it once, it's inspired. When he says it two or three times, it's very important that we pay attention. So we know that we're called to be saints. And then in verse 26, or let's start in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through God did not know God, It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Gentiles seek after wisdom, but we preach Messiah crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But, in verse 24, to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Messiah is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For you, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brothers and sisters, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Now, our brother Lonnie in his Torah reading emphasized that all people, no matter how insignificant, are important to the Lord. And in these scriptures here, you all believe that you're called. And we found out that we're called to be a holy nation of priests set apart for God. And we're called to be saints. And now we find out that even the weak and foolish among us are called to reveal God to those who believe that they are wise in their own sufficiency and don't feel like they need God. But then when they see someone who they think is weaker or less than themselves rising up in the power of God, it declares God. It proclaims his holiness and his might and his power to people in the world who don't trust and walk in his ways. And that's an incredible thing. It says the heart of true wisdom is knowing the ways and the will of God and living in harmony with ultimate created reality, not creating a reality of your own where you're God and you're the center of the universe like people who are humanists do, and not creating a world in your own mind where everything's relative and what's true for one person might not be true for another, but where the word of God is truth. And it's an absolute thing, and there is no relativeness to it. And people who Paul opposes, it's not intellect or education, it's the false independence from God and the way that they lean on their own self-sufficiency instead of being God-sufficient. That's what he's opposing. It's fine to be educated. I'm a highly educated person, and God has promised me that all the education that I've garnered in my life, he's going to be able to use it, and it's not going to go to waste. But it's only useful to him when I yield myself to him, when I give over my will to his. Yeshua was wise beyond any man who ever lived. He's the role model for everything that we do. But even he had a moment when he said, if it's possible, Lord, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if it's possible, would you take this cup from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he went to the cross and died, knowing what was going to happen to him. So I believe that we are called to more than just what these verses said, because if you look at verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, but of him, of his doing, that means, you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, righteousness is a term taken from court. It's God's judicial determination to get to right every wrong. He wants to right every wrong in your life. And his gift to the guilty, which removes all condemnation and puts them in a state of justification, including full scriptural form. And it says, you're not guilty. You're fully acquitted of all the things that could have been held against you. And sanctification is a symbol taken from the temple, showing the need for cleansing from pollution or uncleanness. Remember all the scriptures in Leviticus that tell how to get clean once you've been defiled? And it includes a renewal by the power of the Holy Spirit, which allows acceptable living before God and points to our ultimate perfection as his very treasure. He sees us as a treasure. And in his presence, we can be seen as perfect when Yeshua is in us. It's his perfection in us, not our perfection, that God sees. And redemption is taken from a background of slavery and debt and speaks of freedom and final deliverance from all the aspects of sin, including resurrection of your mortal body when Jesus comes again, and we believe that will be to fulfill the fall feasts of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. And so in reality, I believe that we all have three different callings. Our first calling is to God. Our second calling is to the body or the church. And our final calling is to ministry or service. And I'm going to explain more about those three things. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So these scriptures say that those who God thought of in a personal saving relationship, he planned that they would ultimately be like Messiah and conform to the image of his Son. And he didn't just know that you would exist or know some fact about you. He knew that you were going to be brought into a saving relationship with him. That's being called to God. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that would remain. And in John 20, 21, he said to the disciples, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. You see, so the first scripture shows that we're chosen by God and our calling is to God. But then in the very next scripture, he's saying, as God sent me, I also send you, and that's to do the work of service and of ministry. And then Lonnie in the Torah reading read from 1 Corinthians 12, where it shows that every part of the body is necessary for the functioning of the entire body. Let's read that scripture again. And the Holy Spirit was working in him to read, to include that in the Torah reading, knowing that I already had it as part of my message. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Messiah. For by one Spirit we were all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And then verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. You weren't set in the body in a certain role to please yourself or to please other people. You were set in your role within the body of Messiah to please the Lord. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow even greater honor, and our unpresentable parts greater modesty. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's what we're called to in the body of Messiah, to be part of the whole answer, to do the thing that we've been called to do, to take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua has taken hold of us. Let's look at that scripture, 1 Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Paul is saying, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua has also laid hold of me. Now, I submit to you that there is a that for which Messiah laid hold of each and every one of you. And you need to seek the Lord and find out what that is. Because when you are walking in and fulfilling the ministry that you're called to, that brings life into your mortal life. That brings joy and hope and peace. And the kingdom of God is peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. But it comes to you when you're functioning as the part you were intended to be functioning in. It comes to you when you're fulfilling that ministry. You can't steer a parked car. You know, if you're sitting in your car trying to steer it when it's parked, you're not going to get anywhere. And a lot of people in churches all over this country are parked cars. I'm sorry, but they're just sitting there waiting for something to happen and not looking for what they can do to serve others. There's a complex Old Testament scripture filled with all the rules of the law. There's hundreds of laws in there, over 600 of them. And yet Yeshua said the whole thing can be broken down to this one, two simple things. Love God and your neighbor as yourself. And yet he also said that not one jot or tittle, not one mark or dot over an I from that law would be left behind, that he came to fulfill it, to fill it full, as Rabbi Ed says, and not to abolish it or not to do away with it. So, you know, you've been called by God to himself. You've been chosen by Yeshua to be part of the body, and you've been sent by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be a minister to people in the world. The crisis in the church is that those who are called, chosen, and sent know they're called. They don't know what they're chosen for, and they haven't gone anywhere. And let's look at Acts. Acts chapter 26. See, the thing that each of us heard at one point in our life, those who are saved and members of the body of Messiah, is we heard the gospel. And it touched our hearts, and we knew that it was time for us to ask Yeshua, Jesus, to be our personal Savior and Lord, that we needed to repent and turn our lives around, start living for God and not for ourselves and not for the sins that had been dominating our lives prior to that time. And the Apostle Paul, you know, when he was Saul of Tarsus, Rabbi Shaul, he was tormenting and oppressing people, who, followers of the way of Messiah. He was killing some. He was dragging others off to be tried and killed. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. But on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with Yeshua. And eventually, after his missionary journeys, he knew that he had to go to Rome. And in trying to get to Rome, he knew that he had to go back to Jerusalem, that he'd be arrested. And he just trusted God that everything would work out the way it was supposed to. So he's in a trial in Caesarea before King Agrippa, and he's recounting how Yeshua came to him on that road to Damascus. And in verse 16 he says, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." I will submit that that red-letter word of Yeshua that he spoke to Paul and that Paul is relating to King Agrippa isn't just for the apostle Paul, it's for each of us. We're called to be ministers and witnesses. If there's no one to tell the lost sheep out there in the world about the gospel of Yeshua, how will they hear it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how can they ever come to faith without a witness, someone to tell them? And your witness is simple. I used to be like this, then I became a believer, and now my life is like this. It's that easy to be a witness. In verse 17, he says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And this is what he was sent to do. To one, in verse 18, open their eyes. Two, in order to turn them from darkness to light. Three, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, number four, and inheritance among those who are, number six, sanctified by faith in Yeshua. So those are six parts of the gospel message. People's eyes are opened. They can read and understand the scripture. That happened to me. In order to turn their life from a life that's following darkness and sin to a life of light and life in Yeshua. And from the power of Satan, who's dominating their life by sin and strongholds and you know, they're just bound up in the things that they're ashamed of, to the power of God that breaks all those chains, sets them free, delivers them, and lets them walk freely in the light of the love of God. And then they receive forgiveness of sins. Most people think that the whole salvation message is just forgiveness of sin, but that's only fourth on this list. And they receive an inheritance in the kingdom of God among those who are sanctified by faith. You're made right in the eyes of God by your faith. It's not your own doing. It's a free gift of His. And what I see is too many people are motivated by duty or guilt to serve others in the body of Messiah. But what they should be motivated by is the love of God, the love they have for Him. I wrote in my journal when I was in Bible school, to know God is to love Him. Because the more I got to know Him, the greater my love for Him grew. It's like, how can you know who God is? How can you see what He's done in your life and the lives of people you love and not love Him more and more and more? And then you're motivated to serve out of the love that you had for Him, not out of some misplaced guilt or sense of duty. Anything that you do out of duty that you haven't heard God telling you to do will probably fail. But anything you do in obedience to the will of God in your life will undoubtedly succeed because He sows into it the power and the provision and everything you need to be successful in what He's calling you to do if you seek Him to find out what that is. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in this fleshly tent, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then Paul goes a little further when he says in chapter 4 and verse 19 and that he's going to keep ministering, he's going to keep preaching the gospel until he sees Messiah formed in all the people in the churches he's ministering to. And boy, do I want to see that. Messiah formed in you. Messiah formed in me. Messiah formed in you. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you isn't a catchphrase. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle for members of the kingdom of God. Now, We are not called just to be saints. When we are called to be a holy nation set apart for God, that means that we're actually ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And I've spoken about this before, but for those of you who didn't get to hear it, an ambassador is someone who represents one nation or principality, even though he's living and residing in another. And he sets up an embassy, and the embassy becomes the sovereign territory of the nation that he's representing, even though it's in a foreign country. And his lifestyle is the lifestyle of the nation that he represents, and not the nation of the country in which he lives. So if I were appointed to be an ambassador to an African country like Kenya, I would be entitled to set up an embassy there that was actually the sovereign territory of the United States of America in Kenya. And I would be entitled to a lifestyle that would be the same that I would enjoy if I lived in America, and not the lifestyle that I would have if I lived and was a citizen of Kenya. And in that very same way, we are citizens of heaven, living in a foreign domain called earth. And everywhere we set our feet is to become an embassy or territory that we take for the kingdom of heaven, for our king, who's Yeshua the Messiah. And we're to bring the culture, the purpose, and the lifestyle of the heavenly realm that we represent to earth, and make up the lifestyle of everything that we touch and everything that we do. Not just on Saturday, not just on Sunday, all the time. We have to go to work and make work the culture of heaven on earth. We have to go to school and make school the culture of heaven on earth. We have to reflect in our lifestyle, whether at work or school or in church or at play or wherever we are, that we are citizens of heaven, claiming earth as our sovereign territory for our king. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Somehow, the Holy Spirit avoided giving this one to Lonnie as well and left part of my message for me. No, I'm kidding. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Yeshua the Messiah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Messiah reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Messiah. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's a ministry that we could all get behind. We could say to people in the world who are living in a sinful lifestyle, be reconciled to God. Turn away from your sinful lifestyle and repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, John the Baptist had one basic message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. And after Yeshua was baptized and was confronted by the devil in the wilderness and didn't sin, he came filled with the Holy Spirit and power into Galilee. And what was the first thing he said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If we're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven for Yeshua, and we're called to bring a ministry of reconciliation, that's something that everybody should and is able to do. And then we're called to God, we're called to ministry, and we're called to the body of Messiah. Find out what your part in the body is and seek to do it. Ask God to reveal the ministry message that is for you. The gospel has multiple portions, and you know, some water, some plant, some actually pick the fruit. It might be your part just to plant a seed here and to plant a seed there and let somebody else come along and water it and somebody else lead that person to the Lord. And you are called to God. You're chosen to be a holy nation set apart for Him. It's time that we started living our lives that way 24/7, 365. You know, this isn't a part-time gig. It's full-time. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Yeshua the Messiah before time began, and has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. How many of you aren't part of us? Raise your hand if you're not part of us. Everybody's part of us. This is for all of us. This is for everybody. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to such much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort, and for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessing, hope, and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And it's clear that everyone here can do some of those things, the part that's for them, and it's clear who he's talking to. He's talking to everybody in the body. I read in Ephesians 4. Let's turn there for a moment. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Yeshua himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Messiah, through whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, Father, I repent right now as a pastor and a teacher for not doing everything I could to equip the body of the saints for the work of ministry. Please forgive me, Lord. If there's more I should be doing, reveal it to me, O Father. Those of us who are in these offices, we need to take this commission seriously. And those of you who are out there listening, you need to take being part of the body seriously. And you need to do your part. in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And in verse 12b, it says, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, the Holy Spirit told me to put those two verses together, even though they aren't together in Scripture. Take heed to the ministry that you've received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This is serious business. I want to see you standing complete in God's will. And I want to see the body functioning the way Yeshua intended for it to. And it pains me that those who are called, chosen, and sent have led us to a crisis in the church because 80% of those who are called don't even know what their calling is now. I'm sure the people who were called in the first century could have told you what their calling was a lot more than just 20%. Anyway, I have more scriptures, but I think I'm done. You know? I want to see Messiah formed in you. And I want to see Messiah formed in me. And there's a promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, or verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, what a thrill it would be to look in the mirror and see the image of your Savior looking back at you. Father, we submit this word to you. We commit our congregation to you. We ask that you would knit each part into the body to know its role and to accept its role, Lord. Let everyone know their calling. Let everyone understand that they've been called to you, to the body, and to service. Let's take this seriously, because time is short, and there's a lot of scriptures about the lukewarm church and the consequences of being that. So let's get on fire for the Lord. Let's submit ourselves to these words and really understand that you can't steer a parked car and that you can't be motivated by duty or guilt, but only by the love of our Messiah. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen.